The following contains adult themes and strong language. Basically, all of the good stuff.
TBC Audio Original Drama presents Ella by Andy Matthews with Eva Savage as Ella.
Come in. Ah, Miss
Cox. Eleanor Cox. But everyone calls me Ella.
Well, come in and sit down, Miss Cox. I'm only a psychiatrist, nothing to be afraid of. Please, take a seat.
Thank you, Doctor.
Now then. I seem to have mislaid your file, but you would have had your consultation and evaluation, yes?
Yeah. 3 weeks ago.
You must have been referred to me by Dr. Henderson from the psychiatric wing at St. Francis Hospital. How long were you in there?
But could I have a glass of water?
Yes, of course. Help yourself.
I was in hospital for about a week.
I see. Well, Ella, I think we should start with a formal introduction, don't you? So, if you could start by telling me a little bit about yourself.
What would you like to know?
Oh, just the basics to begin with. For example, I am Dr. Ben Harris. I'm 61 years old, and I live in Brighton. You know, that sort of thing.
Okay. My name is Eleanor Cox. I'm 24 years old. I live in Eastbourne. I work in a care home. I'm single. And I see ghosts. Generally, I hear them more than see them.
Voices, eh? All of the time or just some of the time?
They come and go.
I see. Well, let's start at the beginning then, shall we? How did all of this begin?
When I was a child. It started just after my sister, Marie, moved out of the family home and I...
Take your time, Ella. Relax.
Well, as I said, it all began after my sister moved in with her boyfriend.
And how much of an effect did that have on you?
Quite a bit, actually. You see, we were very close. She was more of an auntie to me, in a way, being 12 years older. It hurt us all when she left. Especially my dad. He didn't like the guy, and felt he'd failed her as a father.
Did they not get on?
Well, they never really saw eye to eye, if that's what you mean. But when she walked out the door, it broke his heart. He was a soft-hearted man, you see, despite being an ex-army sergeant. He was always there for me. Just after Marie left, he bought me a dog. I guess he thought it would fill a gap.
Good move, Dad. Animals can have a positive effect when it comes to loss, especially with children.
Yeah, it did.
Was it a boy or a girl?
A boy. I named him Jack. I really should have called him Gulliver.
Why Gulliver?
Because he was always on his travels. He used to run off all the time. Scared me to death most days. Of course, to him it was just a game. But to me, well, he was my friend, and I loved him.
Did you ever experience any night terrors as a child?
Yeah. No. Well, they weren't exactly night terrors.
What would you call them then?
Visitations.
From?
Ghosts. Of course, I didn't know they were ghosts back then. I was only 6. To me, they were just children playing in my room.
What was your relationship with your mother like, Ella?
She did her best, but with her, you never quite knew where you stood.
In what way?
She had depression. One day she'd be bouncing around the house, and the next, she would hide herself in her room for days. She was like that right up until the day she left.
And she left the household when you were...
14.
And how did that affect you?
Honestly?
Always best.
Relief, mainly. She was a nightmare to be around at that point. Both of us, me and Dad, felt we were walking around on eggshells all the time with her mood swings. So when she finally split with my dad, it was like a weight had been lifted. Does that sound wrong?
No. No, not at all. If we can go back for a moment, Ella, to the visitations following your 6th birthday. How did these experiences manifest themselves?
Slowly, at first. I'd wake up in the mornings and find all my toys thrown around the room, as if someone had been playing with them in the night while I was asleep. Then one night, I was lying in bed, and someone began yanking at my bed sheets and pulling my hair.
That must have been quite frightening.
No, it was actually quite fun. Like a game. There were three of them, all children. They used to visit me at night and we'd play and talk. I always wondered why their clothes were so dirty and torn, and quite often I found it hard to understand what they were saying. But we all had a good time and became friends. Then, after they demolished the old book warehouse over the road, I never saw them again.
Do you feel that the building across your road and the children were connected in some way?
I do now, yeah. I found out later on that back in the late 1700s, the building was a children's home.
And you had no idea of this at the time?
None.
And looking back, are you sure you weren't just sleepwalking or dreaming?
No.
Did they ever speak to you?
Yeah, all the time.
What kinds of things did they say?
Just kid stuff, really. Their names were Harold, Bertie and Francis. All of them were orphans. I remember one of them asking me if I was dead too, which kind of surprised me.
But never frightened you?
No.
The voices from the children, Ella, would you say that they were in the room or in your head?
In the room. They sounded and looked just as real as you sitting there now.
Did any of this ever wake your parents?
Once or twice. But I was never punished, just put back into bed.
So nobody heard or saw these children but you?
That's right, yes.
Okay. So far, then, we have no fear, no real confusion, and everything's fun and frolics. At what point did these visitations become more sinister?
When I was about 15. There was a story going round that our school hall was haunted. So one night, myself and a few friends broke in and tried to do a séance. Just for a laugh.
And what happened?
Jacob Pendleton happened.
And who was he? A school chum? Ella?
Jacob Pendleton was a bastard lowlife who stank of rotting fish and stale tobacco.
I'm not with you.
He was a dead man.
Ah. Another ghost?
Not just a ghost. He was a twisted, evil soul who enjoyed abuse, rape, even murder.
I'm guessing this ghost turned up during your séance with your friends.
That's right. None of them could see him, of course, but I did. Anyway, for whatever reason, this thing followed me home, attached itself to me and turned my world upside down.
Attached itself to you how?
He invaded my aura, my personal space, my life.
Did he attack you?
Not physically, no. If he had that ability, I'm sure I would be dead now. He thrived on fear. Namely mine. He ate it like candy. He knew I was afraid, you see. I'd lie in my bed at night, terrified, unable to move while he paced around my bed, lusting after my teenage body, spitting and shouting at me to stay awake, muttering the most obscene things he'd like to do to me, most of which I didn't understand. He'd never stop. Even when my fear became too exhausting to stay conscious, I could hear him in my dreams, telling me I would be dead by morning, that I'd never wake up.
Did you tell your parents?
Oh, yeah. Eventually, they took me to a child psychologist. But he just said it was nightmares caused by raging hormones and that I'd grow out of it.
And did you?
No. I didn't just grow out of it. I ended up killing myself.
You tried to commit suicide.
I didn't just try. I actually did it.
What do you mean?
After I took all those pills, I was dead for 7 minutes, according to the doctors. So you see, in a way, I achieved what I set out to do.
And afterwards? How did you feel about what you did?
Relieved.
Because you survived?
No. Relieved that finally somebody would take me seriously.
You felt that you were being ignored.
I was 15 years old and driven to a point where I wanted nothing more than to die. So, yeah, I felt I was being ignored. It's a terrifying experience, you know, to feel trapped within your own body with no way out. And being constantly attacked mentally day and night by such evil. However, by taking my own life, I turned the tables on Pendleton.
How?
My fear turned to anger. I hated what he'd done to me, to push me to that point. When I returned home, I knew he would be there waiting for me. So when he appeared with that sickly stench, a rotting grin, I threw all of my torment, ferocity and hatred at him.
How did he react?
He was startled. Then as my anger grew night by night, I discovered that he couldn't approach my bed. He was refined to lurking in the shadows, hissing and sulking. I began to mock him, calling him a useless, low-life coward. And it was then that I noticed something in his eyes, something I never thought I'd see.
Fear?
No, not fear. Sorrow. He was sad. His power over me was broken, and his energy was dying. The next night I waited, excited by the chance to attack him again, but he never came. And that was the last I saw of him.
You conquered your own fear. Well done. In most cases like this, especially with teenage girls of the age you were, sleep paralysis can be triggered by high emotional stress. In your case, all of that, when mixed with increased adolescent hormonal changes happening in your body, can result in this type of phenomena. Honestly, Ella, it's very common.
Are you trying to tell me that all of this was just a dream too?
Think about it for a moment. Your sister had left, your mother had left, your father loved you very much, I'm sure. But deep down under all of that, you felt abandoned. You craved attention, you were screaming for help. All of these emotional firebombs were exploding in your brain all at once, and subconsciously you created an outlet. An exhaust pipe, if you like.
And you believe that my exhaust pipe was Jacob Pendleton?
Yes, I do.
Christ.
Please, don't misunderstand me. It's not that I don't believe you, I do. It's just that there's a more logical explanation to Jacob Pendleton than him simply being a ghost.
Then how do you explain my dog?
What about your dog?
Never. Not once did Jack enter my bedroom while all of this was going on. He was terrified of the room, and the night after Pendleton left, that little dog trotted in, happy, calm, never leaving my side, and woke me every morning with a face lick.
Dogs are very sensitive creatures, Ella. They can sense moods. Bad atmosphere. He was probably frightened of the fear he could sense from you, not the room itself. Think of all that anger you were venting off.
Maybe.
Let's move forward a bit. After Jacob Pendleton, how did your life present itself from there on?
Fine. I left school, went to college, got a degree in healthcare, got engaged. Twice. Neither of which led to marriage, of course.
May I ask why?
I caught my first boyfriend with my sister. She moved back into the area after her marriage failed.
Ouch.
Yeah, it did sting a bit.
What did your sister have to say for herself?
We were both drunk, Ella. It didn't mean anything. It just happened, Ella. Don't be so angry, Ella.
Did you think you had a right to be angry?
Yes, I did. I felt betrayed. I was young, gullible. Finally, my life was changing into a bed of roses, and then pop. Afterwards, I quickly came to the conclusion that happiness was meant for other people, not me.
And what about now? Do you still feel that way?
Sometimes. My second fiancé moved to Australia with his cousin to start a business. Of course, he met someone else out there and dumped me by post with a lovely letter that I opened during the royal wedding. Excellent timing. There I was, relaxed, happy, sunbathing on that glorious day and...
I'm sorry.
No one's fault, really. Just life.
Was that when the voices started up again?
Yeah. And I thought the same as you. It's just stress, heartbreak, maybe a touch of depression. So I just ignored them, got myself pissed, took an overdose, and ended up in hospital again. And for what? Men? Stupid...
Not all of us men are complete scallywags, you know. There are a few of us who are good, honest, devoted people.
I know. I didn't mean any offence.
There's none taken, believe me.
I just think now how stupid I was. My life is mine, nobody else's.
Who saved you the second time after you took the pills?
My father again. Before I lost consciousness, he called for help.
He wasn't another ghost, was he?
No. He's very much alive and lives a few streets away from me. No, I phoned him in tears, told him what I'd done. He's always had a very calming voice. And here I am.
Good old dad to the rescue. So, no more dark thoughts of ending your life then, Ella?
I'll admit that occasionally I feel down, low, and wake up some days thinking, what's the point? But don't we all?
Of course. We're all human. So you said you were in hospital a week, yes? Under observation.
That's right.
Did they put you on any medication?
I was prescribed antidepressants, but only a low dose, as they felt that what I did was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. But I didn't take them.
Did you feel they wouldn't help?
The doctors had already come to the conclusion that I wasn't mentally ill, so I couldn't see the point.
I wonder why they sent you over to me, then. A counsellor would have been a far more logical route than a psychiatrist.
I've no idea.
So let's continue with these voices, Ella. You said they come and go. How do they affect you now?
Well, for many years they used to terrify me. I'd scream at them to go away. I'd play music so loud the walls would shake, but it never did any good. So, in the end, I decided to try something different.
And what was that?
I decided to listen to them. I mean, if somebody's got something to say and they're being ignored, it can cause such distress. I know. I've been there. I know what it's like to be ignored.
What were the voices saying to you?
Help me, mostly.
They were asking you for help?
Yeah.
How many voices?
10, 20, maybe.
All at once?
Yeah. I remember the final straw. I was cowering on the sofa late one night with my hands over my ears, and I snapped. I stood up and shouted, "One at a time, please!" Suddenly, it all went quiet. I couldn't believe it at first. The silence was deafening. But then, a soft gentleman's voice whispered in my ears. "Please," he said. "Please tell Dorothy not to worry. I'm all right." So I asked him who Dorothy was, and he told me that she's his wife. He wanted me to go and see her and say one thing to her.
What?
Cigarettes. Thank you for the cigarettes. Anyway, he gave me his address, and I went round there the next day. Sure enough, an old lady answered the door. I simply said, "I have a message from your husband." At first, she looked angry and confused. But when I said the words, "Thank you for the cigarettes," her eyes welled up. You see, no one knew she had placed a packet of cigarettes in his coffin. Nobody but her.
That's a very intriguing story.
After that, I never heard his voice again. And so I went on to the next voice, took their message, delivered it, and then the next, and so on and so on.
So you became a messenger for the dead?
Yeah. Well, no, it all depends on how you look at it. I mean, what is death?
The end of life?
It's the end of our perspective of life. Yeah, what we see, feel, know, everything that's around us each and every day suddenly is no longer relevant in our reality. And that can sometimes cause great fear and confusion.
It's an interesting ideology, Ella, to suddenly have no physical body and find oneself as a ghost. But you must remember, especially in your case, that the mind is a very powerful organ. It can generate all manner of illusions, deceptions.
Yes, exactly. But the brain and the mind are two separate entities. One is flesh, the other energy. Or spiritual, depending on your beliefs.
So you believe that when you die, the mind carries on existing?
Yes, I do.
Let's say for a moment that you're right. That everyone who dies is, in a way, still alive. Still able to think and feel and communicate. Why then are we all not seeing, hearing and talking to the dead?
I've no idea. We all have the ability. It's inherent within all of us. But many just choose not to use it. I, on the other hand, had to. I'm just a little more in tune with what's around me.
I see.
I'm sure you don't, but thank you.
I'll be honest and straight with you, Ella. You're a healthy young lady who has many things going for her. You're bright, friendly, imaginative. You have a lovely smile and nature, and despite having been through a fair amount of trauma, you're a completely normal individual with her whole life ahead of her. However,
you don't believe me.
Let's just say I don't think you've been completely honest with me.
Really? What part?
The focus of my job as a psychiatrist is to listen, and to listen carefully to what I'm being told. And I've listened to your story, and it's fascinating stuff, but you're 24, yes?
That's right.
And you said your second fiancé, the one in Australia, sent you a letter that you opened up and read while sunbathing on the day of the royal wedding to break off the engagement, yes?
Yes.
But Ella, the royal wedding was in the middle of November. A tad cold for sunbathing, wasn't it?
Ah. Okay. May I ask you something?
Of course.
Which royal wedding are we talking about here?
What on earth do you mean?
I mean, which one? Diana, Fergie...
Who?
Princess Anne? Am I close?
Princess Anne? Is this some kind of joke?
William and Kate's? Which royal wedding,
Princess
Ben?
Princess Elizabeth's, my dear girl, soon to be crowned Queen Elizabeth in a week.
Oh, my God, you mean it's 1950? 50? What was the year she was crowned?
1953?
Was it? Is it?
My dear girl, you know, in my professional opinion, I think you're suffering from some
this
kind of...
This does require an explanation, doesn't it?
Yes, but will it be an honest one? Well, I'm waiting.
I'm sorry. It's my fault. We've been having this lovely chat and I'd completely forgotten why I came here.
Tell me truthfully now, Ella. Were you actually referred to me by the hospital?
No.
Then what are you doing here, girl?
I'm here to help you.
Me? You're here to help me?
How has your day been today, Ben? I mean, has it seemed a long one, or just another day at the office?
My day has been just fine, thank you.
Really? How many appointments today? 3, 4?
I really don't see it. Any of your business how many appointments I...
When was the last time you ate? Or drank a cup of tea?
I don't...
Or touched something. Even a chair, a table, or walked out of that
Miss
door.
Miss Cox, may I suggest that you stop all this tomfoolery right now, or I'll have to ask you to leave.
I'll leave, but only after you've touched the table.
Now see here, my dear girl.
Touch the table, Ben. Just once. One touch.
My dear girl, you're totally unhinged.
Touch it! You can't, can you?
I can't feel it.
You can't feel it because you're not really here. Neither is the table, the water jug, the glass, the telephone, the filing cabinet. This room is empty, Ben.
Stop this.
It's been empty for years.
Whatever you're doing, stop it now.
Try standing up.
What?
Stand up. Try it.
I can't. What's happening? What is this?
The afterlife, Ben. You see, your mother came to see me the other day. She told me all about you. How you died peacefully in your office at work one day.
My mother?
Yes, Ben. Close your eyes. Picture her in your mind. Call for her. She's waiting to collect you.
My mum? Mum? Mum?
Are you all right? Is it over? Has he gone?
Yeah. It's over.
Oh, thank God. Maybe I can finally rent this damn room out now.
It'll be fine now.
Are you sure you're okay? You've been standing there, staring into space, muttering to yourself for nearly half an hour.
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Just tired.
And the ghost is definitely gone. Yes?
Yeah.
For good?
He was trapped here by his own self-deception. He had no idea he'd died. He just needed somebody to show him the way out.
Oh, my. That's given me the chills. How long had he been here?
Oh, since 1953?
No way.
Oh, yeah. To him, time had no meaning. Just another day at the office. But you can relax. The cold chills, the feelings of being watched. All of these will stop now. This room is empty.
Oh. I don't get it, though. What was he doing in here for all of those years?
His job. Goodbye.
Hi, Mum. It's me, Ella. Well, hopefully you can see that from wherever you are. I hope heaven is treating you well and you're behaving yourself up there. Dad's fine. He had another fall last week, but you know him. Tough as an old boot and back on his feet. I'm sorry I haven't been to see you much, but it does get busy down here on planet Earth, and life does get in the way sometimes. I bought you your favourite flowers. Your photo on your headstone looks nice. It's the one when you were actually smiling. Remember at Auntie Dot's wedding? Anyway, I don't know why I came today. I've just realised this poor bloke who was stuck, and I thought I'd, well, drop in. Not that you deserve it, buggering off the way you did when I was a kid, but you're still my mum, and hello? Oh, hi, Elsie. Yeah, I've had my phone on silent. I was on that job today, remember? Yeah, some poor old guy who was still at work. Yeah, it all went fine. It's clear now. You what? Tonight? Shit, I forgot. No, it's fine. I can make it. I'll drop my dad shopping off and see you there about 7. Okay, yep. Bye. Got to go, Mum. Gotham City calls.
Welcome, everyone. And thank you for coming to our charity evening of clairvoyance here at the Spiritualist Centre Circle of Life. My name is Elsie, and tonight I'm giving 3 of my students the chance to demonstrate their abilities to you. Now, they may be nervous, so please be kind, and remember, if you feel a message might be for you, don't just sit there thinking, shall I or shan't I? Stick your hand up. You may be pleasantly surprised. First up is a lovely young lady from Worthing. Please put your hands together for Linda Horton.
Thank you, everyone. Now, as Elsie's just said, this is my first time in front of an audience, so I just hope the spirits are not as nervous as I am right now.
Shall we grab a drink?
So, my Aunt Susan used to... Yes. Hello. Okay. Did you...
It's a good crowd tonight. Always better for making this work the joy that it is. Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee, please. I'm sorry I've not been to see you in a while, Elsie. What with my care home job and spirits all queuing up until the early hours wanting me to pass messages on, I never seem to get any time to myself.
You may be in demand, but remember your training. Open up to work and close down when you're not. You're a fully trained medium now, and a darn good one, I might add. One of my best.
Doesn't stop them banging on the door once I've closed it, though, does it?
No. Here you go.
Thank you.
That reminds me. I have a case that may interest you.
Really?
A haunted pub. Apparently it's a delightful old place. Over 300 years old and set in a beautiful part of rural Berkshire. Poor landlady's at her wit's end. Glasses exploding, tables, chairs, moving around,
Bumps in the night.
Berkshire? That's hardly around the corner, is it? What's the background on it?
Well, it isn't a violent ghost. More mischievous.
A poltergeist?
There are some aspects of that, yes. The locals believe it's the ghost of Dick Turpin. The legend goes that him and a band of outlaws once had a shootout there.
Dick Turpin? You can never trust folklore.
Absolutely. So you'll do it?
Yes, okay. If you give me their telephone number, I'll give them a call to arrange a visit.
There's no need for that, my dear. I've told them you'll be down next week.
What? How do you know I'm not busy next week?
Simple. I'm a medium.
Excuse me. Hello?
Sorry, miss. Way past time.
It's all right. I don't want a drink. I'm looking for Brenda. I'm Ella Cox. We spoke on the phone.
Oh, you must be the Ghostbuster.
No, I'm really
Brenda,
not.
Brenda! Your Ghostbuster's here!
You here to throw out old Turpin's ghost, are you then?
No.
Nasty character, old Dick. Stand and deliver.
I'm not here to throw anyone out.
Careful there, Frank. She won't give you the crystal ball.
Oh, stop it, you two, and finish your drinks. I'm sorry about that. I'm Brenda. Come on through. Thank you. Joe?
What?
Can you finish up here? I'm taking this young lady upstairs.
There, Joe, you lucky old bugger. The wife and a younger woman.
You stop that talk, Frank Sullivan, or you get a swift kick in the you-know-what.
You'll have to sew him back on first, Brenda.
I'm sorry about that. Some of these men, honestly, they get a drink inside him and... Oh, I don't know.
Honestly, it's fine. I've heard worse.
Well, they'll all be gone in a few minutes once Joe's locked up. I made up the spare room for you for tonight, just through there.
That's lovely. Thank you, Brenda. Have you lived here long?
About 7 years from me, but Joe grew up here. Took the pub over from his dad. Must be 20 years ago now.
Has it always been haunted?
Yes. Do you know what I think? I think it's an old gang of highwaymen. The legend goes that they use this place as a hideout. One night, there was a shootout, and all but Dick Turpin were killed.
So Turpin escaped?
Well, so the tale goes, yes. But his ghost is still here. Many of the locals have seen it.
You mean that rowdy bunch downstairs?
Yes, I know what you're thinking, but they're all good men, really. Except when they've had a few.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid witnesses and alcohol do not go together. And I doubt it's Dick Turpin.
How could you be so sure?
Well, for one thing, he didn't die here. He escaped. And secondly, energy going that far back, if it was his ghost, it would have dispersed ages ago.
Really?
Yeah. You see, unless it's properly stimulated, a lingering energy simply won't survive for more than a few years before nature settles the balance.
You mean they'll naturally go to heaven in the end?
Or the next plane of existence, yeah.
So why do ghosts exist, then? Why don't they all, you know, move on?
That's a question I'd like to answer, but I honestly don't know. Most hauntings are a product of high emotional release, such as a murder or suicide. And those feelings can remain within a building or place and...
Right, that's the last of them. Ernie's had to go back with Frank. His missus locked him out again.
I don't blame her, drunken old sod.
You'll never learn that one. Daft as a brush. So, how does a Ghostbuster bust ghosts, then?
I'm really not a Ghostbuster. I'm a medium.
Stop with all that Ghostbuster rubbish, Joe. Silly films. If you listen, it's really quite interesting.
Ah, I'm only pulling your leg, miss. I'm Joe, landlord.
I'm Ella. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Any tea on?
Did you hear that?
Just a glass fell off the shelf. I'll go take a look.
Joe, I'm scared.
I'll come with you.
Hello? Who's there?
Joe, call the police, please.
Pipe down, woman. I'll go first. Follow behind me. There's no one here. Bar's empty. I'll check the door.
Oh, my God, look at the mess. There's broken glass everywhere.
Door's still locked. No one's been in here.
Wrong. Someone has always been in here. Give me a moment.
What's she doing?
How should I know?
Come on. Don't be afraid. Show me. Ah, there you are.
Have you found something? Is it Dick Turpin?
No, this energy is fairly recent. Maybe 40 to 50 years?
Who is it, then?
Shh. Now, tell me. Who are you?
Oh, my God! Who turned the lights out?
Damn fuse must have blown.
Ella, what's happening?
If you won't talk to me, I can't help you. I'm not here to harm you, I promise.
Did you hear that?
Oh, it's just the building settling down. Old timber, you see. It creaks as the temperature drops. The heating's on timer, so when, of course, I turn it back off...
Shh! Listen, both of you.
I can hear it. Somebody's crying. Joe!
What is that? Where's it coming from?
She's here. In the corner.
Right, that's me done. You do what you have to, but I am going upstairs.
Quiet! Both of you. She's trying to communicate.
Communicate? What's going on here? You'd better not be playing games.
I'll tell you what's going on here. You have the spirit of a woman trapped inside your pub, desperately calling for help, and one of the main reasons she's trapped is because no one will listen to her.
A woman? What woman? Why, what happened to her?
I don't know. Yet. But if I'm going to find out, I need to gain her trust. And your closed mind and attitude is not helping, Joe. So either sit quietly or go upstairs. But do one or the other now, please.
Now, hold on. This is my pub, you know, and I say what goes on in here, not you.
And my responsibility is to that woman who wants nothing more than to walk out of that door.
But what's stopping her?
Because something is holding her here.
What?
That, Joe, is what I'm trying to find out. You're the owner, the landlord, the boss of this place. Ask her.
Me?
Yes, you. Talk to her.
Go on, Joe.
Okay, if it stops all this nonsense.
Hey, you! Go!
Nicely.
Hey, you, girl. What are you doing here and what do you want?
Oh, very good.
What's good?
Both of you, quickly, what song is in your mind right now?
Well,
The one that's popped into my head is... Oh, who sang it now?
Which song?
Knock Three Times?
That's what I got. Yes, by Dawn. Do you remember it, Joe?
That's right. She's using music to communicate. She's asking us to knock. Still feeling sceptical, Joe?
I need a drink. Okay, how did that happen? How can we all have thought the same thing at the same time?
You both picked up on her thoughts. Remember, she can't just walk up to you and have a cozy chat. She's using whatever she can from her memories to get her message across. The message being, not three times.
You know, just after I took this pub over from my dad, we had a jukebox there in the corner. And whatever record you selected to play, that song always came on. I had the repairman in twice. He never found anything wrong with it.
He never told me about that, Joe.
Didn't think it important.
Until now?
Yes, until now.
Give me a moment. You can talk to us. We're trying to understand you. What's your name? My name's Ella.
Can you see her, Ella?
No. But I have a name. Penny. Come on, Penny. You can do better than just not to communicate this. Just think the words, and I'll hear them.
Is she talking?
Don't get upset. Calm down, Penny. It's okay. It doesn't matter if you can't. Try showing me instead. Just think back to what happened to you, and I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. It's okay.
If it's really a ghost, why doesn't it just show itself?
Shush, Joe.
There was an accident. A motorcycle. Her and her friend. No. A boyfriend. She made her way to the pub to get help. But no one would listen. She went wild. Smashed glasses, pushed chairs over. Still no one listened. They ignored her.
That's because everyone was in shock.
Joe, do you know who she is?
I was only a lad, washing glasses behind the bar for my dad, but I remember it well. She came staggering in here, covered in blood, screaming. My dad and all the locals just froze, me included. She just collapsed. The ambulance was called. The lad out on the road was dead. Killed instantly, they said. They tried to resuscitate her, but she slipped away. Right there. Where you're standing now.
What? When was this?
1970? 1971, I think.
Why didn't you tell me?
It was years ago. And not something you really mention. I do have a pub to run, you know, and people dropping dead in it... really isn't great for business, is it?
I've been saying for years this pub was haunted. You've always told me to shut up and stop being daft, and now you tell me this.
Well, how was I to know? Far as I'm concerned, once you're dead, you're dead. I didn't know she was going to be wandering around in here for years after. Once the ambulance took her away, that was the end of it.
Not for her.
What can we do? We must help her.
We will, Brenda. We will. However, there's a problem.
What?
To you, she's just a ghost that needs getting rid of. To her, Penny, it's still 1970, and the accident was only 10 or so minutes ago.
Does she know? You know, that she's even dead?
I think she does, yeah. She's showing the awareness by the way she's communicating. What puzzles me, though, is that if she realises she's dead, she should know that a door isn't an obstacle anymore. There's nothing to stop her just getting up and walking out of here. Or is there? It's very confusing dealing with alternate realities. People on both sides only see what they're programmed to see.
What do you mean, alternate reality? What?
Never mind. Brenda, that banging you keep hearing, where do you think it's coming from?
Over there, by the television.
Was this always a wall?
No, it used to be the front door. My dad bricked it up not long after the accident. He had a new one built so it would face the car park. He liked to see who was coming and going, you see.
So the door she would have come through after the accident in 1970 would have been here?
That's right.
Well, that explains the banging. She can still see the door but can't pass through it. I wonder why.
Because it isn't there anymore, that's why.
Shouldn't make any difference. Not to her, anyway. She's not flesh, blood and bone. She's just energy. Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it's locked, I mean, in her reality thing you spoke about.
Could be. Penny. This is the way out, Penny. The door, here. Can you see a door?
Penny? Sweetheart? You don't know me, but you don't need to be here anymore. You can leave whenever you want. Listen to Ella. Can you see the door?
The temperature is dropping again.
Yes, you're right. What does it mean?
It's her. She's getting emotional. I'm sensing frustration.
Oh, poor lamb.
Why is she not leaving here?
Maybe she's just scared. I mean, in shock still. After all, she's just been in an accident.
No, we're not seeing the full picture here. The bike crashes, she survives, staggers over to the pub, walks in...
Yeah. Knocked over old Ernie. He was just on his way out. Then she just went wild, screaming and hollering, knocking into tables. Right old mess she was.
Probably couldn't see clear, being half unconscious and dying, bless her.
What did you say?
Half unconscious and dying.
No, not that bit. You said probably couldn't see clear.
Well, no. She must have been dazed and confused.
Or maybe she couldn't see at all. Maybe she was blind.
Jesus!
Joe, you all right? Oh, my... I just felt a tingle go down my spine.
Me too. Shivered me to the bone, that did.
And me.
It's getting warmer all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's positive energy. She knows we understand now. I think we've solved the puzzle.
The poor girl was blind.
Yeah, and while she's stuck in this limbo, blind in death too.
A blind ghost?
Ghosts are a mix of memories, you know, experiences we gain throughout life. All our frailties, mistakes, successes, loves, failures, they're all a part of what makes us who we are.
So if I had a broken arm and dropped down dead, I'd still have a broken arm?
Were you born with a broken arm?
Well, no, but...
I work with a medium who once spent 2 weeks trying to communicate with the ghost of a serving girl. It took him all that time to realise she was deaf.
Did he help her?
With understanding and patience, eventually, yes.
How did he manage that?
He taught her sign language. 6 months later, she could read what he was saying, and he showed her the way out. Same kind of problem we have here. Only here, it's a door that isn't there anymore, and that she can't see anyway, even if it was.
So, what do we do?
Oh, don't go thinking for one moment you're knocking down my wall.
It may not come to that.
Too right it won't.
Joe, don't be such a selfish old sod. We can put it back up again.
Are you serious, woman?
Do you have a cellar?
Yes, of course.
And it hasn't been changed, moved or modified at all? Same doorway? Same hatch that leads to the outside?
Far as I know, yes. That cellar has been there since the 1600s.
Excellent. The 1970 is a doddle. Penny, if you can hear me, make a noise. Any noise.
Maybe she's deaf too, like the one your friend had.
No, I can't believe we'd be that unlucky. Ah, she's with us. Penny, I need you to follow my voice. Can you do that? I'm going to show you the way outside.
But what's she going to do if she does get outside, Ella?
I'm hoping she'll be free. Nature should take over and pop her over to wherever she's supposed to be.
Hoping?
That's a bit vague, isn't it?
It's the best I can do. The main thing is she won't be trapped in here anymore. Now, can we get on? Joe, open the hatch, please. Penny, follow my voice. Slowly walk to me. Now, we have to climb down some stairs. Don't worry, you can't fall. Just follow my voice.
It Is she following us?
She's here. Good girl, Penny. Now, Joe, open the hatch to the outside.
All done.
Penny, follow my voice, sweetheart. Slowly. We're going up another ladder now.
Have we done it? Is she outside?
She's okay.
Where is she?
I rarely see ghosts, Joe. Just hear them or feel them. He's gone.
Which way?
What does it matter? Just let her go.
I imagine she's heading down the end of the lane to where the accident happened.
I thought she was blind.
She's been released. The fear and frustration would have gone, so now all that remains of her is pure spirit. No physical illusions of having a body. No eyes. No pain. So no blindness.
I wonder what she looked like.
She was just a normal girl, as far as I can remember. Black jacket, headscarf, high heels. Couldn't have been much older than 17.
Why would she go back to the crash site?
Because that's where her heart is telling her to go.
Do you think her boyfriend's waiting there for her?
Oh, I hope so, Brenda. I hope so. Come on. I think we could all do with a drink.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it. I'm afraid there's no flash of light or angels with harps, Joe. Just peace. She's moving on to her next adventure. Whatever that may be.
Ooh, it's cold.
Right. Hang on here, you two. I'll go unlock the front door. Save us all clambering through that cellar again.
Hello, Puss. Did you miss me? And what have you been up to while I've been away, huh? Josie, I've told you not to bring me presents. Yuck. Especially dead mice.
Well, I don't want it. I'll stick to a slice of toast, thank you.
And then bed. I've had a long drive. I am shattered. Oh, God. I've got work in 4 hours. Why do I do this to myself? Oh, for God's sake, there's no bread. Jesus, I'm useless. Bugger it. Come on, Puss. Bed. Hello?
Hey, Bluebell. Did I wake you?
Oh, hi, Dad. No, I was just dozing.
Thought I'd try and catch you before you went to work. Just checking all's okay. Haven't heard from you in over a week.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I had a few days off, so I took a trip to Berkshire.
Berkshire? Is there love in the air?
What? Oh, no. It was to do with my other job, you know.
A haunted house?
Haunted pub this time.
Ah, well, lots of spirits there then.
Oh, please don't. If I have to hear that joke one more time, I think I'll scream.
When did you get back?
Tuesday, just after lunch.
Did he go okay?
Yeah. A few little hiccups, but we got there in the end.
Okay. Well, if you find time over the weekend, do pop in. Your sister's coming down Sunday.
Is she? I'll come over Saturday then, if you like.
Come on. Don't be like that. You can't push her away forever. She's your sister, your family, and she's apologised God knows how many times now.
I'll think about it.
It's Julia's birthday. She'd love to see her aunt.
Is it? Oh, Christ, yeah, you're right. How old?
11.
Already?
Yeah. did you? Haven't seen her since she was 9?
Well, that's hardly my fault, is it?
No, it's your sister's. So, shall we say 10 o'clock Sunday? Ella?
Okay.
Good girl.
Dad, I'm sorry, but I've really got to dash. I'm in work in 45 minutes. And if I turn up looking like this, half of our residents will die of fright.
Okay, Bluebell. You have a good day. Love you.
Love you too, Dad. Bye.
Ella, hi, it's Jill. Can you come in a little earlier today, if possible?
Oh, God.
There's something I'd like to discuss with you. See you in a bit. Bye.
Temperature of just 10 degrees. Saturday looks like the best weather of the week.
Morning, Ella. Did you have a nice break?
Yeah, it was okay. Is she...
She's waiting for you in her office.
What's it about, Dawn? Do you know?
Dunno, love. Maybe it's a pay rise.
Yeah, right. I'm in this place.
How's your dad?
Oh, he's fine, thanks.
Good luck.
Come in. Morning, Ella. Come in. Take a seat.
Sorry I'm a little late. I only got your message half an hour ago.
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry. How was your break? Did you go anywhere nice?
Only Berkshire.
You must try Rome. Dave and I are off there again in June.
Oh, lovely.
Did you visit the castle while you were there?
What castle?
Windsor Castle. You said you went to Berkshire.
No. Just a couple of days in a pub. Bit of fresh air, you know.
Oh, nice. Anyway, the reason I've asked you in early today is that I need a favour.
Okay.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind covering for Mandy on the night shift. She's called in sick.
When?
Tonight and maybe tomorrow.
I thought we had a new girl start on nights.
Susie, yes. That's one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about.
Is she not working out?
She hasn't gotten off to a great start, no. She got a little spooked last night. Ended up locking herself in the reception hall office.
Why?
Oh, she claims that somebody was following her around the ward corridors. You know what it's like in here at night on your own? It can be a little creepy. Anyway, she's convinced there's a ghost here and refuses to work alone tonight.
I see.
Of course, I could quite rightly sack her. She's only a week into her probationary period. But we're so short-staffed, I can't really afford to let anyone go. So I thought if you could accompany her tonight, you know, just keep an eye on her.
Are you sure it wasn't one of the residents? You know, maybe sleepwalking?
I doubt it. Once they've had their medication, they're out for the count. Dementia or no dementia. Just her imagination, I expect. After all, she's only 17. Do you mind? I'm sorry, it's such short notice.
Yeah. Of course I don't mind.
Lovely. Thank you, Ella. You're a star.
I don't believe it. She drags me out of a warm bed, right across town, only to tell me to go back home as I'm working tonight. I mean, she could have told me that over the phone. Why does she have to be so bloody cryptic?
I think she enjoys the power.
She even left me a voice message, but not a mention of... Can you work tonight, Ella? Stay in bed today, Ella.
I mean, why? I think she has a degree in common sense, Ella.
That's for sure.
Anyway, I don't know what you're complaining about. You have the witching hour shift. Just your kind of scene, eh?
What, babysitting a newbie? Wonderful.
She was pretty freaked out when we arrived this morning.
She puts a young girl like that, barely out of school, on her own on a night shift, in a creepy old care home full of elderly residents. What does she think would happen?
You think it was just her imagination then?
Dawn, I've been working here for over a year, and I'm telling you, this place is about as haunted as my garden shed.
It was a time of struggle, a time of danger, a time of passion.
Do you want a crisp?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Oh,
this is
What are you reading?
It's a biography about John Lennon, post-Beatles.
Any good?
Yeah, it's written by someone that actually knew him, so fairly accurate, apparently.
John Lennon. Oh, he wrote that Christmas song, didn't he? I saw the video with the Japanese girl.
Yoko Ono. It was called War Is Over.
He never wrote another one after that, did he?
What?
John Lennon. He never did another Christmas song.
Susie, do you even know who John Lennon was?
Not really, no.
You must have heard of the Beatles, surely.
Oh, was he in that?
Yes, he was in that.
I like Adele.
Hmm, do you?
Do you like her?
Good Bond theme, yeah.
My dad likes ABBA, especially the blonde one. How old are you?
123.
Sorry, am I boring you?
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I just didn't get a lot of sleep today, that's all.
God, nor did I after last night. Do you think it'll come back? The ghost?
No.
I hope not.
Look, Susie, just relax. There's nothing here, I promise you.
Do you believe in ghosts? I do. This one time, me and my friends were...
It's okay. Just the security alarm.
Has it gone off?
I don't know. They're very sensitive, these things. Stay here, not only set it.
On my own?
One of us has to stay here and watch the CCTV, and I'm guessing you haven't been shown how to set the alarm system.
No.
Well, I'll be back in a minute. Oh, thank God for that.
Hello, it's back. I just saw it.
Shh, quiet. Any more racket and we'll spend the entire shift changing bedpans. They may be old, but they can still wake up.
I'm sorry, but I just saw it on the screen. The CCTV telly thing.
CCTV. Saw what?
The ghost. It ran right past you while you were setting the alarm.
Shh, calm down. Now, what did you see, exactly?
Someone in white. I don't know who. It was fast. Really fast.
Are you sure it just wasn't my shadow?
No, it ran down the corridor. You don't believe me, do you? But I did. I saw it.
Now, take a deep breath and calm down. We need to check the residents, just to make sure they're all okay. You take the left side, I'll take the right, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
Good girl. Now remember, quietly. Now whose is this, I wonder?
What is it?
A necklace. I just trod on it.
What's it doing on the floor?
Somebody's obviously dropped it. I'll pop it in lost property. Now come on, you start with Mr. Ridgefield in room one, and I'll start with Mrs. Cooper in three. And remember... quietly.
So apart from the alarm system going off and this necklace you found...
A quiet night, yeah. Well, apart from Little Miss Nervous.
Susie says she saw someone running through the corridors.
She thought she saw something, yeah.
And you didn't?
No. Of course, we can't check, as the CCTV is never recorded, is it?
Were any of our residents disturbed by the alarms?
Mrs. Cooper was a bit confused, but she soon settled. And the new resident in 7, I don't know her name, she was awake.
That's Mrs. Davies. She arrived on Wednesday while you were on leave. Do we know who the necklace belongs to? Dawn?
Not yet, no. We'll need to check with the relatives. I don't remember seeing it on any of our patients.
residence, Dawn. This is a care home, not a hospital.
Residence. Yes, Jill.
Right, let's get on. The engineers are arriving at midday to repair the alarm system, so we shouldn't have that problem again. And Ella, you're back in this evening. Is that okay?
Okay.
Then get yourself home to bed. You too, Dawn.
Me?
Yes, I'm sorry, but Susie handed in her resignation at the end of her shift. So I'm short one carer for tonight.
What about Mandy?
Still on sick leave, I'm afraid. But Diana is taking over for the weekend, so at least both of you will get a break then. Okay?
Yes, suppose so. What about the necklace?
I'll lock it up in my drawer for now.
Can I hold it?
Whatever for?
Just for a moment. Thank you.
What are you doing?
Oh, just checking something. Ella? Thank you. Here.
Okay, away you go, girls. Get some rest. Back here at 10 PM prompt.
What was the name of the Doctor on Star Trek? A. Dr. Murray, B. Dr. Spock, or C. Dr. McCoy?
B. Dr. Spock.
Wrong. It was C. Dr. McCoy.
Oh, I hate quizzes.
Well, it passes the time. It's gone midnight. Only 6 hours to go.
Well, this is fun. Everyone else is out on the town on a Friday night, and we're stuck in here with a crappy old kettle and a multi-pack of cheese and onion crisps.
We've got the radio.
Oh, party on. Should have brought some balloons.
Christ, I could do with a vodka.
And I need a wee.
Make sure it is just a wee, no sneaky fag out the loo window, or we'll have the fire brigade paying us a visit.
Oh, now that's a thought. 6 or 7 burly firemen may liven up the evening.
Ah, in your dreams.
Back in a mo.
I'll put the kettle on. Dawn? Dawn? Dawn!
Oh, Jesus, Ella! What the... Are you all right? It wasn't until you came barging through that door. Oh, you nearly gave me a heart attack. I heard you scream. Me? I didn't scream. I'm just lighting up. Someone screamed. Well, don't look at me. It probably came from outside. It is Friday night, remember? Loads of drunks walking home. No, it was coming from in here. Are you trying to wind me up? Because if you are, it's not working.
It has to be one of the patients.
Residents, Dawn, residents.
Oh, fuck off.
Sorry. Couldn't resist.
How can you be so calm?
I'm used to this kind of thing.
Don't tell me it's one of your ghosts.
No, I would have felt something by now.
Well, what then? Oh, maybe Susie was right. Maybe she really did see something.
She can't have. I haven't felt anything in this place, ever. I'm telling you, there's nothing here.
What about that necklace? You held it and did that thing. What's it called?
Psychometry.
Well, did you feel anything from it?
Not really. Just vague images of childhood. Kids playing games, you know, that sort of thing.
That came from behind us. Are you sure something isn't playing games with us?
Give me a moment.
Ella?
Come on. Where are you hiding?
Anything?
No, there's nothing here. At least nothing I can sense.
Ella?
Yeah, I heard it.
What do we do?
Ignore it.
Ignore it? We've just come from the toilets. There's nobody in there.
If we ignore it, it'll stop. Something is playing with us, and I, for one, am not in the mood for games. Do you hear me? Come on, is that really the best you can do? What are you afraid of, huh? Why are you hiding?
Ella.
It's okay, I know what I'm doing. Oh, well done. Go on then, smash another cup. Smash them all, I don't care. Well, I'm waiting.
Ella, I want to get out of here. Now.
Dawn, it's okay. Trust me. You're safe. Nothing can hurt you.
Did you feel that? It was cold, like someone...
brushed past us.
What was it?
I'm not sure. Not a ghost. At least... not what I know one to be.
Ella, I need to go. I can't stay here.
It just doesn't make sense. This place isn't haunted.
Maybe it's one of the patients. Maybe someone's died and their ghost is running around.
Let's think logically for a moment. This has been going on for 3 nights, yes?
Yes.
None of the residents have died, yeah?
And... unless someone has tonight.
Even if one of them had, it's way too soon for a manifestation like this. No, there's something else going on here.
It could be somebody having a prank. I know Phil, the cleaner, likes a joke or two.
This isn't a prank.
That's room 7.
Is that the new admission?
Yes, that's Mrs. Davies' room. She came in on Wednesday.
We better check she's okay. It took me ages to settle her last night after the alarm went off. Right old chatterbox.
Chatterbox? Mrs. Davies?
Believe me, she's one of the best. Come on.
Ella, wait. I was on duty the day she was brought in. I spoke to her son and... well... he told me that his mother hasn't spoken a word for over 40 years. She was in a car crash in her 30s. Brain damage, I think he said. Ella, she can't even talk.
Are you sure you've got the right person?
100%. I spent half the morning with them. Her son was telling me all about her.
But she was talking about the war. Her sister, her childhood...
but Ella, she can't talk. And another thing, she never even had a sister. Her son told me. She's an only child.
Dawn, she has dementia. I don't know, maybe in a random moment her brain just clicked back to normal.
Clicked back? After 30 years?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, am I? Anyway, come on, we better go check on her. It seems to have quietened down now, whatever it was.
Well, let's hope it stays that way. Don't you go all mystical on me and bring it back.
Don't be silly. It doesn't work like that.
I just wish I had a crucifix.
Stop it! Mrs. Davies? Dawn, turn the lamp on.
Phew. She's asleep.
Dawn, did you put this here?
The necklace? No. What's it doing in here? Jill locked it in her desk drawer.
That belongs to me.
Mrs. Davies, are you all right?
She spoke.
Mrs. Davies, can you hear me?
You're the one that can see, aren't you? But you couldn't see me.
No, I couldn't. But what interests me more is that I've been told you can't talk, so all in all, you're a bit of a mystery, aren't you?
I did enjoy our little chat last night, didn't you?
Yeah, you certainly have me fooled. But why all the games? Why not tell everyone that you can talk?
Do you want to know a secret?
Only if you want to share it, yeah.
I'm not Mrs. Davies.
Really?
You don't believe me, do you?
I believe you're very confused. So, if you're not Mrs. Davies, who are you?
They never gave me a name.
What's going on, Ella?
Who never gave you a name?
My parents.
But you're Mrs. Davies. Bernadette, isn't it?
That's my sister's name, not mine.
But your son said you're an only child.
He's not my son, you silly girl.
This isn't Mrs. Davies, Dawn.
Then who?
May I hold your hands?
Yes, my dear.
You have warm hands. And a kind smile. Oh.
What is it?
Now do you understand?
I think I'm beginning to. There are two hearts that beat in this body. Two souls?
She isn't possessed, is she?
No. No, she's always been here, hiding away. And when her sister sleeps...
I come out to play.
What's happening to you, Mrs. Davies? Maybe it's the medication, Ella.
Oh, stop it. She's fine. Don't fret, girl. She's in here with me, sleeping.
I can't take this in. I'm sorry.
It's all quite simple, Dawn. Two twins. One was born, the other wasn't. But for some reason, her spirit is still alive and in this body. A mirror image of one soul. Twins living in one body, one alive, the other dead.
So is she the ghost?
Yes and no. A free spirit. A bit like an astral traveller coming and going when her sister sleeps. Pure energy, pure existence. Free to roam within this body as her home. Am I right?
It's so much fun. Once, you know, Bernadette had this boyfriend. He used to hurt her, cheat on her. So I haunted him every night until he apologised. Certainly taught him a lesson.
That's a bit naughty, isn't it? What were you thinking? And what about poor Susie? You scared that poor young girl half to death. She left her job because of you, you know.
Well, she shouldn't go stealing other people's things, should she? That necklace was our mother's.
Susie stole the necklace?
Yes. Took it from my sister's drawer, cheeky beggar. But I made her drop it.
And what about us? Why try and scare us?
I was just trying to get your attention. You'd never have believed me if I hadn't shown you what I can do. Do you have any idea what it's like living in a broken-down old body with everyone thinking you're a doddery, forgetful old fool?
So you led us back here to your
Well, your sister's room.
You're amazing, you know that. I've never come across anyone like you before. But you can't go running around in here at night scaring people anymore. That's wrong.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. By tomorrow morning, we'll be gone.
Gone?
I see.
What does she mean?
Everybody has their time.
And ours is tonight. That's why I wanted to speak to you, before it's too late. Tell her son not to worry and to be happy. And give him the necklace. It's his now. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, my dear. Oh, it's nearly time. Could you leave?
Are you sure you don't want anybody with you?
We have each other.
Okay, we'll leave you in peace. Dawn, come on. Let's grab a tea.
I'll just tuck her in a bit. It's chilly tonight.
Okay.
There. Is that better, Mrs. Davies?
Dawn, check her.
She's gone, Ella. She's dead.
Yeah, I know. Just now.
I'd better call the duty doctor. Note the time, please. Ella?
1:28 a.m.
Patient died. 1:28. Damn. What's the date?
2nd of November.
2nd of November. 2019. There. All logged. Poor Mrs. Davies.
Come on. Let's give them some dignity. I'll put the kettle on. I don't think we should report any of what went on tonight, do you? Not if we want to keep our jobs.
TBC Audio Original Drama presents Ella by Andy Matthews with Eva Savage as Ella. You have been listening to Ella by Andy Matthews. Ella was played by Eva Savage. Ben by Justin K. Haywood and Saoirse Brooks played Elsie. Philippa Hammond played Brenda, and Doug Devaney was Joe. Sarah Golding played Linda and Frank was played by Andy Cresswell. Penny Scott Andrews was Dawn, Peter Taylor played Gil and Jenny Rowe was Susie. Dad was played by John Campling. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Saoirse Brooks. The producer was Simon Moorhead. This production is supported by public funding from Arts Council England. This TBC Audio original production is copyright to TBC Audio Limited 2021.